we build out this whole philosophy around teaching kids about the zone.
In a world that may be on the edge of emotions, we're going to find out how we can be a shelter for kids in the classroom and online. Next.
And now it's time for another edulicious episode of the Bentley Brothers Podcast, bringing you what's current and what works in education. Here are your hosts, Scott and Tim Bentley.
Bentley Brothers, Bentley, Bentley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Bentley Brothers, yep. Bentley, Bentley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Yep. First name Bentley, last name Brothers, bringing education information like no others, yep. With Tim and Scott.
Boy, Scott, yeah, we got so much going on right now with the pandemic, and you know, you might be listening to the show after the pandemic is over, which, you know, we're staring at it right now in the face of, I'm sure you remember what it was like back when the pandemic was going on, because we don't know when it's going to end, and we don't know how much longer. Even when we go back into the classroom, we're going to have a lot of things that we have to deal with kids in terms of their social and emotional health. And that's what we're going to be talking today.
Yeah, Tim, I mean, I think we don't know, but we do know that we're going to have to address this in a way that other generations have had to address things like severe earthquakes or wars or different tragedies that have happened and impacted a lot of lives. But I like to think that like through human history, our genetics has made it this far, that we're going to come out stronger through all this, especially if we stick together and find ways to address the social emotional needs of the kids and each other and ourselves.
Absolutely. Now, before we introduce our guest today, why don't you go ahead and share with our listeners what they want to stick around for at the end of today's show.
And we're so lucky that Advancement Courses is sponsoring the shows. So if you have a Donor Choose project that needs funding, tune in at the end of the episode to learn how you can get some project funding through today's sponsor, Advancement Courses.
Yeah, we're going to be giving that information out later on. And so stick around for that. But for right now, we have Jean Baskin on the show with us today. She's a 20-year education veteran. She was a speech teacher, a speech pathologist. I hope I got that right, Jean. And she is now a social emotional specialist. She's a certified social emotional learning specialist. That's easy.
Say that five times fast, Tim. Go,
and,
ready?
Really. She is also the founder of Social Success in Schools. And we're here with her today to talk about what we as teachers can do in a distance learning environment to support our students, and once hopefully soon the pandemic is over, how we can support those kids as well. Welcome to the show, Jean.
Oh, thanks for having me, Tim and Scott. This is so exciting. Thanks. Big topic out there. I can only imagine what's going on in the minds of educators and students and families and how they're going to prepare for what's to come. And it's every year, educators are always putting the physical and emotional safety and well-being of their students on the forefront. And this year will be now more than ever at its highest priority.
Yeah, I think there's definitely some pandemic panic out there. I know I get anxious quite often and have to just go, you know, it's going to be okay. And we'll take a bit of time and we'll find a way to make this work like we do with so many other challenges we face in public education.
Yeah, I think one of the things that schools are going to be looking to do now is move away from this concept of self-care that we've been talking about over the last few years to help educators reduce the burnout rate and the overwhelm and the stress, and move towards a community care model where we're really helping to come together and support one another in what's to come and not work in isolation anymore. It's more of a collective action process.
Jean, I couldn't agree with you more. You can get me started on this one, man. I think we've had enough self. Let me just put it that way. Over the last 30, 40 years of just seeing how everything is just self-focused, and you're right. We need to come together as a community, worry about each other. Of course, we got to take care of ourselves. Can't ignore ourselves, but man, we got to be looking out for each other. Hey, Jean, can I ask you to start by maybe defining what the issues are today? Are there novel issues that are going on with this pandemic that we're seeing that's going to be now during the pandemic and then after it's over What's the problem? Before we address the problem, what is the problem? What is the challenge, I should say, that we face today?
Well, some of it has to do with mindset. Sometimes as educators, as administrators, we're looking for, you know, that quick fix, that bullet solution. And when our kids come into the building, when ourselves come into these buildings or for remote, we're going to be dealing with trauma. We're going to be dealing with the equity issues. We're going to be looking at the need for student-centered discipline. And we can't be looking at these systems in isolation anymore. A lot of times we have the one and done initiatives. We try this year and then it ends up fizzling out like an old soda. And then we try this the next year. And educators are tired of being in those systems of change. They want real grassroots change. They're ready.
So Jean, you started to look at social success in schools, and I think you're really trying to define it in a specific way, and that's what we're excited for you to share with the audience. So could you just start us off by maybe your journey up to where you're at now and how it turned into like this vision of what success is socially in schools?
Yeah, so I'm a 20-year veteran educator, speech-language pathologist. I've been on the front lines of education, like your listeners, and I just saw the challenges, the roadblocks that they faced in educating kids in today's world. And a lot of the idea of this social-emotional learning up until recently has been looked at like one more thing on their plate, and I don't have time for this, or this isn't my area of expertise. And my thoughts on that were, no way, this is the plate. Our cookie cutter kids are crumbling and no amount of frosting is going to put them together. We need to be looking through the lens of social emotional learning and embedding these practices in the natural environment. It's not a box. It's not a canned curriculum that's going to get these benefits to happen. It's how we arm ourselves as the adults and how we model and shape these skills in the natural environment during those teachable moments. So I've put together this professional development program that really arms educators with trauma-informed, equitable, student-centered, social-emotional learning so they can actually see the change happening in the moment.
Now, Jean, you mentioned in your what you just said right there that there's practices that we can put into place. So let's get into the nitty gritty. Like, what do you want to see teachers doing to supporting the social emotional health of their kids?
Awesome. Now we're getting into my jam. This is where it comes down to the nuts and bolts of what it really means to bring social emotional learning into your schools and in your classrooms. And bottom line, it's how are you modeling these skills for kids and how are you shaping them in the moment? So the modeling piece, it comes down to the adult and growing our own SEL skill set so that we can better teach in the moment. But how are we using our words to be able to shape those skills for kids in the moment? And next year is going to be a challenge because feedback is a huge part of shaping these skills. And we receive that feedback both non-verbally and verbally. But that nonverbal feedback is going to be a challenge if kids and adults are wearing masks or they're 6 feet apart or you don't have them, you have them so spaced out that nonverbal feedback is going to be really challenging to give. So we need to shift to how are we using our words to give that verbal feedback? And for us, we believe that we need to get on the kid level. We need to shift from what we use adult language and get down to that kid-friendly common language that helps kids in the moment to shift their behavior or learn a skill. And so we've developed a common language that we use so that when teachers and kids are learning about these skills, they have a go-to strategy. They have that go-to language to shape those skills. You want to get into some of those strategies?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, cool. So we build out this whole philosophy around teaching kids about the zone. And the zone changes depending on who you're with and where you're at. And in those zones, we have certain expected behaviors, things that we should be doing that keep people feeling good and comfortable. And that in turn gets people to treat us in certain ways. And those zones change. So a hallway zone is going to have a different expected behavior than the classroom zone, than the gym zone, than the bus zone. So now more than ever, we're going to want to teach kids about the zone expected behaviors, because all the zone rules are going to change. It's not going to look the same as what we've normally had. So kids are going to need some quick language to help them to pop back in the zone or know what the zone rules are. So we talk about when kids are blending in and doing the zone rules, everything's cool. If they pop out of the zone by mistake and have a social blooper moment, we call that a mulligan moment. So instead of getting on kids because they're popping out of the zone and they're doing unexpected behavior, a teacher might be able to say, oh, you're having a mulligan moment right now. You know, read the zone, pop back in. And instead of being more annoyed or it's getting into a long discussion, we talk about helping kids keep their bodies and their brains in the zone. And we call that being plugged in, because like a light, if the light's not plugged in, it's not working. Same with kids. If their bodies and their brains aren't plugged in, then they're going to miss out on what the zone expectation is. We talk about the three B's of respect, respecting yours and others' bodies, brains, and belongings. So once you learn that strategy, if a kid is, popping someone's space bubble or space invading a kid, you can just be like, oh, are you respecting the three B's right now? Or if they're forgetting paperwork or need some reminders on that, you can use that quick little language to get them to respond. We also talk about how everybody creates what we call a social folder when we meet somebody. So I'm already creating a social folder on you guys. You live in California, your brothers. And that's where we store things about each other, what we like, what we dislike. But we also store our in and our out of the zone memories of each other in that social folder. So we want to help kids to remember, what kind of information do you want to store in that social folder about you for other people? Because what's in that social folder determines how people will treat you. So if they see Johnny and they have a lot of uncomfortable, out of the zone memories of Johnny, they might be like, ooh, alert, alert. As opposed to Jacqueline, she creates good, comfortable thoughts. So my social folder says I want to hang out with her. So giving them those kind of strategies that help them to sort of see themselves as a bigger whole with other kids and not just themselves only. That's a big thing about social emotional learning, is being able to get the perspective of others, being able to be in the zone's plan with other people and not in your own plan.
Where do values like belief and initiative fit into social emotional learning? Or do they? Maybe they don't.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing about it is, even at the teacher level, we actually use that social folder language to get our educators to start identifying their own social folder identity and what kind of beliefs they have and what are their lived experiences, who do they identify with, what groups they identify with, and then getting them to understand how they might have their own beliefs in those social folders. Some of which might be implicit bias and beliefs about groups of people that then trickle down to a specific student. And that impacts how we treat and engage with our students and their families. So we are really about like deep-rooted change and getting educators to shift their mindset to a more systemic change with social-emotional learning, and not just being like, oh, we've got to teach this box curriculum on Wednesdays and, oh, we're done with that lesson. We're going to move on now. And we've taught social emotional learning and really getting into the idea of creating that grit and perseverance and getting kids to adopt that same resilience.
Now, I've found that most classrooms, it seems like most schools that I've been exposed to, are pretty positive uplifting, nurturing environments for the most part for kids. Most families are as well, I'm sure. But there are those families out there that they struggle, man, with the, they're berating the kids, they're demeaning. These kids are listening to all kinds of just bad, negative messages from whether it be siblings or grandparents in the home or parents. And, you know, in the old model, they got away from that for 6 hours a day or 7 hours a day. Now they're living in that.
That's right.
24/7. That seems to be a big issue that we have to look at as educators. I mean, we're popping in with a Zoom meeting here and there, whatever, but they're still living in that environment hour after hour, day after day. They never get a relief from it. What do we do about that as teachers?
Well, that's where that collective action comes. You got to have all the voices at the table. You can't be working from a top-down initiative anymore. And for social success in schools, we have a whole home component training, because we believe that all the villagers need to come out and do their part. This can't lie on the responsibility of schools anymore. And if that wasn't highlighted now this past spring, I don't know when we're going to highlight it more. I mean, this year is going to require everybody working together, which means everyone needs that training.
Yeah, for sure.
And the supports.
So how do we get that to, how do we get that to the parents, to the kids? Like, I mean, we don't have that captive audience every day, you know? And frankly, some of them, I mean, especially in areas that are a little bit, you know, struggling more with poverty, they might not even have internet access.
That's right. I mean, so that's
like, it's like there's this kink in the hose in terms of the communication of all these ideas that we have.
Yeah, that's where the equity, at least through resource allocation, becomes an issue. I mean, equity in our minds goes and reaches far beyond internet. It reaches into the cultural and linguistic background, and it's a bigger picture there. But when you're asking educators to be able to bring social emotional learning through the computer, That's a heck of a challenge. And I think what I would like to just say to all your listeners is you can't do it all. You're not going to be able to do it all. And it's kind of a little bit of a permission to understand that we're just going to have to do our best. And we will be able to recover from this. And that's where adopting some of these principles now can help better arm and prepare them for when we do get to our new normal. And the trauma-informed SEL is going to be even more important. And the equitable SEL is going to be even more important to embed. So it's more of a marathon, not a sprint right now. It's more like, I'm not looking for you to be an expert swimmer and everything, because we're going to try to make this all happen this year. We're actually just trying to keep you from drowning. We want you to tread water just enough to be able to gain the skills to basically get through the survival mode of a really challenging time. If we can reach through to our parents with these resources, then we're going to provide them. That's our mission, is to get schools and homes on board so that we can do this and get through this together. Building that community care isn't just in school. That's in your homes. That's in your towns. This is going to take everybody to build that resilience and care for our kids.
I can't agree more. I think this is a topic that is going to be important for us to continue to look for solutions and share solutions that you're bringing, Gene. I have a question for you, though. I mean, right now there's a narrative out there that talks about kids need to go back to full-time school for social emotional purposes. And when I think about that, and I think about a kid going back into a classroom right now with shields and masks and 6 feet distancing, and almost like they're going into an emergency room, and this is their new classroom in a sense, along with the panic of thinking that they may get this, you know, this virus that no one really knows how you get it, in a sense. I mean, there's so much misinformation out there. It's like, how does the teacher feel comfortable now? How does the student feel? And they talk about the social emotional of them not getting back together. And in my mind, I'm like, but going back to that feels very traumatic, almost worse, like, or going in and out of that back and forth feels very traumatic to me too, as a human being and thinking about my own son. And like, I think kids thrive in a consistent environment, and whether we create that consistent environment at home in a way, or we create that at school, but just a consistent environment. So I would just love, as an expert on this, I would love your thoughts, because it's not my expertise. This is just a gut feeling I have and just thoughts that have been rolling through my head through all this and starting back to school soon. And I'm assuming that some other teachers maybe have that same feeling.
Yeah, well, you're spot on some of your comments right there, Scott. In the end, every school is going to be different, and how they play this out is going to be different. And this is complex. I feel for building administrators and school leaders who have been faced with making this decision. That's unheard of, to be waking up and saying it's all in my hands. And so I have such admiration and empathy really for that position they've been placed in. And in the end, there's going to be pros and cons to anything we do. There's no right answer. People are looking for the right answer. The right answer is to come together in union, to be thinking through the compass of our kids. And safety should be at the forefront of that decision, no matter what, because we will survive. We will build resilience. We will be able to support our students when this is over. If kids go back and, you know, maybe they are following the rules and they have their masks on and the challenges of not being able to interact, that's going to be tough. That is going to be tough. Kids have been without friends, without contact, without connection, and they're going to be asked to have even more of that when they're in then they're going to be with a bunch of people they can't have that connection with. Some aren't going to follow the same rules, and then that's going to cause some anxiety for some kids who are afraid. They're afraid of dying of COVID. They're afraid of bringing it home to their families, and if they don't feel safe in that environment, that's also going to compromise and feel traumatizing. Some environments are gonna thrive and they're gonna do all right. And they're gonna have their classrooms outside and it's gonna work. It really is not a one box we're gonna check for all kids. But there isn't 100% proof solution. I think people also need to remember that and get back down to the basics of what's important. And what's important are just the survival of our kids right now, and just holding them in the space to do the best we can, building that resilience, that self-regulation, giving them the connections of relationships the best we can, and moving as a group that's there together, doing this together. There's something to be learned about that. When you go through something like this, our kids will also build some amazing skills because of it. It's not all going to be a loss if we are willing to look at it differently and embrace this situation with the kind of care and compassion it deserves.
Yeah, I hear you, Gene. I've already actually started my school year with my kids. I'm on day two today. I'm just choosing right now to look at this pandemic and this challenge as being a positive thing. And it just hit me today. I feel like I turned the corner today with it. Yesterday was just, it's the first day and it was kind of depressing. It's like, I've been doing this for 32 years and I come in, I'm not waking up and getting ready to go into my classroom and see my kids and meet my class for the first day of school for the first time in 33 years. So that was like kind of traumatic, you know what I mean? But then today I was like, this is a new opportunity, because here's why. I have never been in every kid's home before. Do you realize that? That's what is powerful about what's happening. I go into every kid's home every day.
Wow.
And I can have an impact on my kids in where they live and in their environment. I was doing more parent coaching today than I was anything else. And I've never been able to do that before.
Show them that, hey, even if we're not in person, man, there's going to be a lot of awesome that's going to happen this
year. And how often do the parents get to see us teach?
That's so right.
Now the parents are all sitting there spying on me as I'm teaching their kids. And basically, I'm trying to do as little as I possibly can as a model for them. And it was so cool because I mean, it's hard for me too, because I want to help the kids every time they get stuck on something. So I have to bite my tongue as well, but I can model for the parents now. I don't know. What do you think? You know, Johnny, what do you think? How would you solve that? Is there anybody in our class that can come on and unmute their microphone and help this child on this instead of me, the center of the universe as the adult, solving all their problems for them? It was so different.
You're now a reality TV star. You don't know that.
I love it. I think it's awesome.
Reality TV stars, because we've got a bigger audience, but that gives us a chance to influence, is that's what you're saying. And I think it's such a powerful thing that we have to take advantage of while we have the chance, because it could make a huge difference for parents and kids of this generation.
It's that time of the show again. We're going to play Big Bro versus Little Bro. Scott, tell our audience a little about today's game.
Hey, audience, Gene, in Big Bro, Little Bro, the older brother, yes, Tim, and the younger brother, me, yes, that's me, the younger brother, by what, 6 years, 7 years? That's a lot.
5 years.
Everyone's okay. Like, really? There's that much difference? Tim looks so young. Oh,
whatever.
We're going to share a choice with you, and then you're going to have to pick one of them to go with that you feel most comfortable with. And whoever you pick the most of, you're going to actually win a prize for somebody.
That's right. Each brother is going to be competing for one lucky listener. And today's prize is a school-wide SEL professional development program that's found online in today's pandemic days that's offered by Gene Baskin, our guest. Can you tell him a little bit more about that?
Yeah, this is an all-in-one online school-wide professional development program geared at educating the whole child in trauma-informed practices, social-emotional learning and action, positive behavior interventions and supports, equitable SEL, mindfulness, so that educators have everything they need in one place in our membership program. So we're giving away one school, the whole program that both home and school can have access to.
Awesome. Now, if you choose more of my ideas than my brother's ideas, then my listener is going to win a prize. But
no pressure.
More of mine, which I'm really, really feeling lucky to have you here today, Gene. You look fantastic.
No. Don't be doing that. You're not allowed to butter her up. Come on.
Okay. Sorry. Then if you choose more of mine, then my educator will win. Today, I'm playing for myself, and Tim's playing for me also, because I want that prize. No, that's not true. Today, I'll be competing for Scott Cortez. Hey, another Scott. Scott Cortez. He's a sixth grade teacher in Turlock, California. Yes, California. Last time we played for a couple teachers on New York. This time, I think we're out here on the West Coast. Tim?
And I will be competing for Lola. I'm going to butcher this. Lola Coker Atureta, an educator from Nigeria. Woo, going international again here. Gene, here we go with your first Big Bro versus Little Bro dilemma, okay?
Uh-huh.
Scott, and we've got a new format, even on today's show. Scott is going to get to pick first because I beat him with the last guest, so he's going to get to pick which one he wants to offer to you.
You just barely completely destroyed me on the last one. All right, so you get a choice between these two things. I'm going to give you one. Tim's going to give you another one. Here's mine. Would you rather have a professional chef or
a personal maid?
Oh,
which one would you rather have? A professional?
Michael Simon.
I think a professional maid would be pretty amazing right now.
Oh, so you're going with mine.
Okay, I guess I'm going with yours. Professional maid. Yep.
Professional maid. Okay, you have your own maid now.
That's a disaster right now. Yeah.
Okay. So now I'm in the lead 1-0. So Scott gets to pick again on the next one.
Oh, this is just awful. I'm like 0-17 now or something. So you get a choice here, and I think the choice is clear. Would you want to be 2 feet tall?
Or would you want to be 11 feet tall? Just think of the basketball skills that you could.
Uh-oh.
So you places could get, you could sneak into.
Between being 2 feet tall or 11 feet tall.
I'm think going with 11. Tall. I'm going with 11. That was it. That's, I'm going right.
Well, 11? Woo! Oh,
yeah, sorry.
Why would you rather be 11 feet tall than 2 feet tall?
I don't know. You could just get up in the trees and be higher, and I don't know.
Access. That would be hard finding pants. That's why, Tim.
Okay, Scott, you get the first choice on this next one.
Oh, okay. I might be shut out again. This is horrifying. Okay, but I'm going to go with this one because I really think of you in this way. Would you like to be royalty in AD 1000, or
would you rather just be an average person today? So what are you thinking between those cases?
I would say royalty.
Oh, man. Why? Why would you pick
royalty? Finally.
I just think it would be cool to check that out. What is it like to be in that position? I'm already average in today's world. I know what that's like. It's all good.
All the modern conveniences that we have today that they didn't have at that. And
those are overrated in some ways.
Yeah, I get so. Okay. So, Scott, I'm still in the lead, so you get to pick on number four again there.
Okay, I'm going to go with this one then. I really believe that this is the best of these two choices. I would rather give up the internet for the rest of my life than...
Give up air conditioning and heating for the rest of your life. Which one would you rather give up? The internet, that's Scott's, or heating and air conditioning, that's mine.
You're in the bottom area, right? Man. Eating and
I'd rather give up air conditioning and heating.
Yeah. Why did you pick that one?
Because I can monitor that, you know? Everything is on the internet. Not that I would love to unplug and not have the internet, trust me. But I kind of need it. My whole program's online. I need the internet.
Okay. Well...
I could never personally give up air conditioning ever, California, ever.
All right. So Scott, let's go ahead and just have fun with the last one here, even though, you know, well, sure. I won't say it.
Why don't you pick first there, Timo?
Okay. Would you rather find a rat in your kitchen or
a roach in your bed on your pillow? Right.
Oh, dang. Oh, man. Well,
that's not going to help you to make it worse, Scott.
You can't change it.
It's not going to make it
I
think I'd rather see a rat in my kitchen than a roach on my pillow in my bed.
Yeah. Woo-hoo-hoo. Okay, Scott, what's the final score of Big Bro versus Little Bro?
You're welcome for that one, Tim.
Yeah.
Dean, you chose Tim 4 out of 5 times.
Oh, boy.
So I'm pathetically the loser.
Well, listen, I have some good news for you. I'm going to give both Lola and Scott T the gift.
Oh, seriously?
That's awesome. Yep. They're going to be so stoked.
It's a double win. We're win-win. We're all in this together. I'm following my words on it. We need to do this. So.
Oh, my goodness. Awesome. We got a double prize.
Double That's prize. Amazing.
Well, hey, listen. Tim, you actually won nothing. But both our audience members do win this. Thanks so much to you, Gene, for doing that, for offering that. We didn't know you.
My pleasure.
And Tim, of course, you get bragging rights, I guess. Again, older brother, always beating little brother.
3-0, baby, 3-0. Okay, so Gene, before we let you go, why don't you let our listeners know how they can follow up and contact you and get your products. And anything you want to tell our listeners in terms of, you know, contacting in the future, learning more.
You can learn more at www.socialsuccessinschools. That's our program. You can follow us on Facebook or Instagram, Social Success in Schools. And anybody that puts social folder in the subject line and emails info@socialsuccessinschools, I'll also give them a 50% discount. And so social folder goes in that subject line. You email me at info@socialsuccessinschools, and I will give you a 50% discount. We got to make this happen. We got to arm our educators with what they need, our parents with what they need.
PTAs could kind of like help out with too real easily.
Yeah, there's a lot of FundMe pages out there for educators. It's really a reasonably priced program. Our number one goal is to help people. So, you know.
Yeah. Now, is it socialsuccessinschools.com?
Yep.
Okay, just want to double check to make sure. Excellent. And we also want to remind our listeners that we have Global School Play Day coming up. It's the first Wednesday in February every single year. And even if the pandemic is still going on, we're going to get those kids out playing for Global School Play Day. You can go to globalschoolplayday.com to sign up. Scott?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have over 1 million kids playing. Last year was over 70 nations had kids playing in Global School Play Day. We're going to keep this movement going. We're going to keep play up. Big part of what keeps kids socially, emotionally healthy, as well as us adults too. Hey, Tim, we can't end the show without thanking someone who's been fantastic this last year plus.
Thank you to Advancement Courses for sponsoring today's episode. Advancement Courses is a leader in online professional development with over 280 courses in 20 different subjects, including topics like online instruction. Yeah, well, that's very relevant. Social emotional learning, also very relevant. Diversity, equity, and inclusion.
This back to school season, they're partnering with Donors Choose to donate up 10% of all sales to help fund projects every day from now until September 25th, 2020. Visit advancementcourses.com/give to learn more and submit your project for a chance to get that additional funding. Thank you, Advancement Courses, for offering to do that for teachers out there. I know I've used that over the years to help supplement the money that I don't have for my classroom. And so I appreciate them stepping up to do that for us.
All right. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. And if you have a chance and you can go to iTunes and give us some ratings and wherever you're listening to us all over the interwebs, tell us what you think of the show. Give us those stars. We'd appreciate it. That's what spreads the word and gets the Bedley Brothers out there for other people to learn from awesome guests that we have on our show, like Gene Baskin today. Thank you for joining us, Gene.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. And thank you for listening. Most of all, though.
Thank you, Mom and Dad.
Mom and Dad. Thanks for listening, Mom and Dad.
Yeah. Bedley Brothers. Bedley, Bedley Brothers. Bringing education information like no other. Bedley Brothers. Bedley, Bedley Brothers.